They're all the epitome of like that like hipster white that I'm not a part of. Clearly, I'm not white, but
I am.
Are we rolling? Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Hey guys, we were just laughing, so it's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood. Like, are you in a good mood?
I'm tired. I'm very tired. We went ham last night at The Dolphin, which is a bar in Philadelphia. They have Holy Trinity Night, which is Beyonce, Rihanna, and Nicki. And I mean, we just
went. Clearly, we got our life.
Yeah. We went ham on the dance floor, so I'm tired, but it was good. It was a lot of fun. I got to hang out with Bree and our friend Sebastian, who you've heard on the podcast, and my two best friends since college were in town, so got to go ham with them, and then our friend Will. So it was just a fun, silly ham night of just being ourselves and ridiculous in the best way.
I think we did like 5-star adulting last night because we played Settlers of Catan and drank good liquor and then went out and danced. Like that's, I don't know, that's like a perfect adult Saturday night. Like it was a great mixture of like, you know, because we could have even have had like a couple that had a baby that could have enjoyed that first part. And then we all could have left and everyone would have had a successful night with their friends. Like, I need to think of that format for the future when I have a baby or my friends have babies or whatever, that we, you know, do a good pregame, let the people with babies go home and then keep the night going.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm totally into it.
Yeah. Try it out sometimes. Settlers of Catan and dancing your face off. They go great together.
Dancing till you sweat through your dress and everyone's leaving at the end of the night and they want to hug each other, but just they're gross. Also like, we're all disgusting.
Yay! Oh, it was good.
But yes, I'm in a good mood. Tired, but in a good mood. It was a good night.
I've been having like an all-around good weekend of sort of like getting back into the swing of some things. Like I worked out a bunch yesterday. Ooh. I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to make those healthy choices, bullet journaling it to keep it on track.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having that accountability buddy, even if it's just
a piece of paper.
Yeah, some paper is very helpful. And I have the Tough Mudder in less than a month.
Oh my God.
So I have to get my running on.
Where is it at?
It's in Long Island. So I'm going to meet up with my friend Maddie, who's doing it with me, stay at her house in Brooklyn, then we're going to drive up to Long Island and get really dirty and drink beer.
Perfect.
And I need to buy a new pair of sneakers before then, because the sneakers I'm going to wear are going to be destroyed. I want to keep on running afterwards, so.
Yes.
Gotta prepare.
Let's get started with the John.
Woot, woot, woot. So if you follow us on Twitter, news dropped about Issa Rae's new show. And HBO was like, yo, we're doing this new show with Issa Rae. And if you're not familiar with Issa Rae, Awkward Black Girl, get on YouTube, get your life. It's probably the best web series about the black female experience that I've seen. I mean, there's plenty of other great ones, but like that was like the first one that sort of like popped off this idea that like kind of let white people know, hey, stories about black people could be interesting too. because like it was like a big crossover hit. And HBO noticed and they're like, hey, we're gonna give this girl a show. But they didn't have anything to really say about it. And I tweeted like, yo, tell us when. We need to have a parade, a party, all this stuff. And Issa Rae responded and yes. Retweeted us. And it was a big deal.
And then we died.
And now we finally know what the show is. It broke. Yay!
I have watched that trailer at least 5 times. At least. I'm also so excited. I was late to the game of Awkward Black Girl, but just the title alone. I mean, I kept hearing people like throw it around being like, you really should watch this. And I'm like, yeah, because that it me, like, finally a story I can really, 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 really relate to. And oh. I took forever to get on the train. And then I was like, wait, what have I been doing? Like, what have I been doing?
All of the struggles she goes through. It's like, uh-huh. I know every single character. Her, like, struggles between, like, her white boo thing and a possible black boo thing. And, like, what does that mean when you have, like, these two different boo things of two different colors? And, like, how that is just a different world. And, like, having to, like, debate that between yourself and not be awkward in both situations. Because there's different ways to being awkward in different relationships. And just, like, seeing that perspective, my own, being shown, and now celebrated with the show Insecure. I can't wait. I can't wait for Insecure. It's gonna slay.
Yeah. We'll be, I'm sure, giving you updates / live tweeting when we watch Insecure. So be on the lookout for that. You'll be hearing more about Insecure from us, without a doubt.
And yay, black women getting to be funny. Black women getting a show on HBO. Because HBO, they love to make these white lady shows. Girls, Sex in the City, great shows. I mean, maybe.
No.
I was a Sex in the City stan when I was a little girl. I didn't know any better.
I don't dislike it, but no. If you know me, you know my very strong, strong loathing for girls.
Well, girls, so. Sex in the City, I was like, okay. It's for white ladies. I didn't really recognize it for being that at the young age of watching it. I just loved it. And I was like, I'm Jessica. I'm Samantha Jones. That's me. And then when Girls came out, it was so disappointing that they didn't have any people of color. So I was like, oh, this is my generation. I was ready for that to happen. These girls have been hanging out with me. Like, the idea of the girls of Girls have had, in my experience, I've had black girlfriends that have been a part of their world too. So it made me really sad.
Besides the fact that it's set in effing New York. And there, you don't even see
Brooklyn.
Black people like passing them on the street.
Well, they're nannies.
Or they're the boyfriend for like a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hookup.
And maybe my perspective of being a black person that hangs out with white people is not the norm. And I mean, it isn't the norm because all, like, the statistics are out there. Lots of black people, lots of white people have one black friend, and every black person has like five black white friends. So we are being shared, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
We farm share your black friend, I guess. Not farm share, like, not, it's not a farm share, it's like a zip car of your black friend.
Great, that's even better. That's a better analogy. You hit it. A plus plus on that end. You really outdid yourself. Any
what we got for the next job?
Way. I'm really nervous. How do you think you pronounce her name? I'm like nervous. Kaima
or Kima?
I'm like, really? I'm sorry. I'm going to say Kima. I don't know why I'm going to say Kima. Maybe because I like the E more than the I sound.
Mm-hmm.
But Kima McIntyre. So you have without a doubt seen her on TV, on social media, blowing up your Instagram. In 2015, she blew up the internet with her hashtag Black Girl Magic by creating this amazingly beautiful African-inspired prom dress. Had her natural hair, just looked unbelievable.
Straight up queen.
Like,
Nubian queen, all of it. Like, whatever that definition of what you see of just black beauty representing blackness to its fullest, picture it, that's that girl.
Yes. So she blew up the internet, was on a lot of TV shows, and started actually creating gowns for celebrities on the red carpet. Because she created her gown that was amazing. And now she's taking the world by storm again. She's being featured in Teen Vogue's cultural appropriation issue. And then you're going to see her in Glamour and Allure and Vogue and all over because she's in Dove's new campaign celebrating curly natural hair, of course.
And you know we live for that.
And she, I mean, just follow her on Instagram to get your life. You can find her at Mind of Kye, K-Y-E, with an underscore. Find her dress. It's amazing. She creates dresses for people now. She made two for Tyra Banks. I remember I watched her on Tyra's show. But talk about hashtag Black Girl Magic. She is glowing up and blowing up, and I love it. I love it.
You got to love that Black excellence.
Right?
Woo! All right. And moving on to our last John. It's a tough one. But there's also some good stuff, too. So the Supreme Court is in session right now.
Ugh.
And they are seeing a bunch of cases. One of them, they made a terrible decision on. This court, Utah versus Strife, was this guy from Utah, this white man from Utah named Edward Strife, who was stopped by the Salt Lake City detectives, Douglas Frackwell. The Supreme Court is in session right now, and they are hearing a bunch of cases. One notable one was reached a verdict or a final decision on June 20th. It was the case of Utah versus Strife, centered on a white man in Utah, Edward Strife, who was stopped by the Salt Lake City police by this detective named Douglas Frackrell. He saw this guy and he thought that he was suspicious, and that was pretty much it. He seemed to be up to no good, but he had no real evidence of why he was up to no good. Stopped him and then found out that there were some warrants for his arrest and found some narcotics on his person, a small amount of narcotics, which resulted in his arrest. But then that case was dismissed because the evidence was found and as it was obtained in an unlawful stop. So the Supreme Court ruled that evidence that is obtained by the police who made an unlawful stop can now be used and that it's okay. You can stop someone because of any reason under the sun, and whatever you find on that person is can now be used against you in the court of law. So Justice Sotomayor dissented from this, and she wrote an amazing dissent letter that I want you all to read, and we will put it up on our show notes. But I just want to read a little snippet for you. So, writing only for myself and drawing on my professional experiences, I would add that unlawful stops have severe consequences much greater than the inconvenience suggested by the name. The court has given officers an array of instruments to probe and examine you. When we condone officers' use of these devices without adequate cause, we cause them to target pedestrians in an arbitrary manner. I want to skip down to the last paragraph because this is where she like really goes in. But it is no secret that people of color are disproportionate victims of this type of scrutiny. See M. Alexander's The New Jim Crow. For generations, black and brown parents have given their children the talk, instructing them to never run in the street, always keep their hands where they can be seen, and not even think of talking back to a stranger. All out of the fear of how an officer with a gun will react to them. See the souls of black folks. James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between the World and Me. By legitimizing the conduct that produces this double consciousness, this case tells everyone, white and black, guilty and innocent, that an officer can verify your legal status at any time. It says that your body is subject to invasion while courts excuse the violation of your rights. It implies that you are not a citizen of democracy, but the subject of a carceral state, just waiting to be cataloged. We must not pretend that the countless people who routinely targeted by police are isolated. They are canaries in the coal mine whose deaths, civil and literal, warn us that no one can breathe in this atmosphere. There are ones who recognize that unlawful police stops corrode all civil liberties and threaten all our lives. Until their voices matter too, our justice system will continue to be anything but. I dissent.
Blessed. That was... that was it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so this was happening. This is something that was ruled on. This is now the law of the land. It's just, it gives more weight to stop and frisk, to the criminalization of black and brown bodies. It makes that even more legal than it already is in America. But it's all bodies. It's poor bodies, it's young bodies, it's old bodies, it's dirty bodies, it's anybody that a officer of the law can decide just by a glance deserves to be stopped, deserves to be detained, and deserves their rights to be taken away, to be humiliated on the street.
So, is it weird that the thought I just had was that maybe things will change and this will be brought up again in the Supreme Court when you see an increase of this happening to white bodies? And they start talking out about it.
This case that made this decision, I know, it was a white body. Man.
But now when it happens to, I don't know, someone relatively important, quote unquote important.
I don't know. Because like it hasn't changed it when it's happened. Because I feel like the only thing that matters in this has always been green. And when it's happened to very rich men of color, there's been some slaps on wrists to the officers. There's been some major fines, but there's been no changes to the way that police officers conduct that business. Those are
still men of color.
I know that there's still men of color. I don't know if this would how this could happen to...
a white man with money?
To a white man with money. I don't know how.
I mean, maybe just one day all of the rich white men on Wall Street that are strung out on coke will look frazzled one day and finally get busted.
Maybe. It's just...
I mean, it's all messed up. That was just a thought I had. Obviously, not factual. Just, you know, things don't change until it happens to a bunch of white people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there is some good news.
You better call
Becky with the bad grades. Hashtag Becky with the bad grades. If you were not on Twitter this week, getting your life and seeing hashtag Becky with the bad grades, that hoe Abby that was trying to go to the University of Texas and couldn't get in because her grades were trash, but she thought that she had a space written with like in permanent marker somewhere.
Written in stone. Yeah. Saying, white girl Abby gets to come here before all y'all.
Yeah. And you remember Stay Mad Abby last year when they were like, you know what, we're going to not rule on this right now. And all these beautiful, bright black people were showing off how they've got all these awards, how they're graduating from all these schools. And I'm really excited that they withheld the University of Texas's affirmative action, the way that they do things. They're like procedure for affirmative action. And it just makes me think, like, why? Why is it that there's something weird about affirmative action that, like, makes me sad? Because, like, I know that when I got into college, I had some people tell me the only reason why I got into the schools I got into was because the color of my skin. And I know lots of people of color get that, despite the fact that affirmative action helps white women the most. The most.
And Peruse, in this case, Becky with the bad grades, is a white woman. So if affirmative action worked the way it was built,
she should have got in.
But when you have trash grades and a trash attitude, and you're just trash, you don't get nothing.
She's just too entitled. And I can't believe that, like, people have been pandering to her sense of entitlement for this long. They spent all this money, all this time. Girl could have got all kinds of degrees by now. She could have went to freaking the community college and transferred into UT later on.
Yep. Within a year to 2 years.
There are methods to get what you want. And it's not having a temper tantrum through the court system.
You know? What I don't understand is she had all this money to lawyer up against the school. Why not just use that money to get into whatever school you want?
How about you spend that money on a damn tutor?
For real. On reading a book. Could have bought lots of books to read. Mm-hmm.
Wasting time.
Travel the world.
Right? She could have gone and had like a world education.
And then write a essay about how you struggled in school, but then you traveled the world and you held a couple black people from Africa in your Instagram photos. So now you need to get into school. Everyone else does it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, do some good extra clerk and get that money to, like, learn a weird instrument. Like, like, it's something special that helps you get in. They give you that extra little bump, you know?
Becky, you had all the opportunities. Oh, wait, her real name is not Becky. Abby. You had all these opportunities and you threw them away and you still lost. You tried it.
Oh, there have been some mean memes about how Abby and freaking Brock should go find.
Oh, like, no.
Like, it's terrible.
Y'all need to chill.
That, like, out. Those are not the same things, people.
No.
They're both pieces of shit, but for different types of shit. They don't need to mix.
No. But sorry, Becky, I guess.
And Black Twitter, stay black, because I love it. All right, let's
move on.
So, June 16th went down. Was it 16th or 17th?
The animals. Trap, 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 till the cage is full. The cage is full. The day is new. Everyone's waiting
on you, and you got time.
No, she made it different with that weird ass sound. No copyright on that sound.
That was the instrument.
Yeah, I know. Think of all the roads.
My favorite thing is just like the slamming of the doors in the beginning of the song.
My favorite is that freaking video that came out when the new season came out last year. And it was that person in the living room in the jumpsuit. Yeah. Every year I'm like, it me.
Because you're always that happy.
You're just like dancing around the living room. Even though it's a show about free in prison, you're just so excited. You're just
excited because like, Orange is the New Black.
Obviously.
We're talking about the show that you've been loving for the past four seasons. We got a new season that came out earlier this month. And it was a heavy one.
It was too much.
So don't, we have, yeah, so
don't do this.
This is our new segment. We're going to call it Spoiler Alert, Spoiler Alert. I think the statute of limitations on Netflix shows is about like 2 weeks. So if you haven't seen the whole thing by now, you late.
I think the statute of limitations is longer, but it's V important.
And check the description for where to skip forward to if you do not want to hear these spoilers.
Thanks, producer Jordan. But yeah, season four happened. It was deep.
It started very slow. It started slow. You had a lot of questions. Sophia getting out and joining the rest of the population again. Is Nichols getting out? What's going on? It's just a lot of questions.
So season three ended with the switch to having even more people in the prison.
Oh, yes. They got new inmates.
So it ended with everyone broke free and was swimming in the lake next to the prison. Someone almost got murdered. That all happened at the end of last season.
Ruby Rose's character got sent to Max because Piper planted a shank on her. What else?
Suzanne and the white girl that fell in love with her story. They were falling in love.
Caputo was the ward.
All of the all the COs like left. Ran off. It was pretty tough.
There were a lot of things that you were like holding your breath for in this season. Like, what's changing? How's this going to work? What are we doing with all these new people? Whose storyline is getting picked up? Who are going to be the new COs? Plus the other questions I already asked.
So there was a lot of like new characters that joined us this time around.
Some characters got a bigger spotlight this time around.
For sure.
Yeah.
What I was really interested with this episode, it really highlighted to me how segregated Lynchfield is.
Oh yeah.
Like, I didn't really feel it before, but when certain things would happen, you were like, oh, yeah, you guys don't call Poussey by her first name in your crew because you're white, so you guys call her Washington because that's how everyone speaks about each other by their last names. You're just seeing how these different groups really interact, and they really don't interact. Like the idea of these different floors became more crystallized, which really brought up to sort of like some of the brutalities, and really brought home some of the brutalities of prison life.
Yeah,
and then these new COs.
Whew, that was. I feel like. They got the new COs, and I expected the one guy to be a jerk, but then he like went above and beyond. And
the Pinscatelli.
Yeah, and I was like that was a very jarring experience, even though it's a fictional show, to be like, oh, I knew he was going to be mean, but like, what the what?
I mean, they came in like the freaking SWAT team.
I know.
And then I think Chapman's story, the beginning part of Chapman's story was disgusting, but also true to her character.
I just would really, honestly, Orange is the New Black could go on without Piper, and it would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I was not into the idea of Orange is the New Black when it started, because I was like, oh, a show about a white girl goes to prison? What is this going to be? This is going to be terrible. I don't care about this white perspective on this, because it's... The reality of the prison system is very multicultural, and if we're just focusing in on this like kind of fish out of water story, I don't need it. But then I recognized it as being a Trojan horse to get us a television program that's actually diverse, that's showing multiple women's voices. Yes, Piper had to be the center of it. You have to have this white blonde chick be the center of the show in order for it to get picked up. But then it quickly became everyone else's story. And that's what I love about it. You get to get more and more of everyone's story.
Yeah.
And then the acting is just so freaking strong. I just love... I mean, I love Uzo Aduba because she just, like, slays. There's, like, one scene in every episode where it's just like, I'm going to show you my full range and, like, let you know who I am.
Like, and you finally figure out how she ends up in prison.
Oh, that was, I couldn't watch that.
And I screamed, not at all what I was expecting in the slightest. Mm-hmm. I thought since they called her Crazy Eyes that maybe she had like, was going to have some serious psychotic break or like she stabbed someone. But whew, when you watch it, you're like, that's it? That's mm-hmm. what happened? And it just breaks your heart even more.
Yeah. Mental illness was a big theme.
Yes.
Of this season. And how mental illness is used, how... The prison system is a way of, is been used as a tool for mental illness of just holding those people without giving them any type of real treatment, and how people can just fall into that system so easily, and then you're just trapped.
I was gonna say they fall in, and then if anything, it's just exacerbated. Because mm-hmm. not only are you now not getting any real treatment, but you're treated even worse. And there's no out. And your instances of possibly lashing out, depending on what that illness is met with physical violence or... Mm-hmm. being locked in a cell alone or
being
strapped to a table or drugged.
Seeing psych. Like everyone talked about having to go to psych and how if you go to psych, you're going to be trapped there. But we never saw it. It was always like the boogeyman. To see psych because one of the characters ends up going into psych in the season. And it's so sad. What, can you look up her name for us? It's the character with the white hair that...
Why am I blanking on her name? She is the one that Alex Voss thinks is... She thinks she's trying to kill her.
But no, she's just...
She's just
schizophrenic.
We don't have to say her name. Yeah. You know who she is, and maybe...
Well, we have all these typing sound effects, so...
Less of a spoiler.
But watching it made me think a lot about how our prison system works and wanting to know more, especially about private prisons, as they're secretive. And, like, we got a good look at how private prisons... Like, a cartoonish look at how private prisons work. I think there was a lot of the comedy came from that crazy white lady executive that dates Caputo. Like, her cartoonish understanding of how law and order works inside of a prison, and that it's not about caring for the people or making or rehabilitating them. It's about having order and control without any regard for humanity.
I mean, they created a chain gang.
Oh my gosh.
So there's that.
Taking this idea of education and skewing it towards free labor. I mean, it just highlights how private prisons are new. It's the new slavery.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is slavery. It's the only loophole for slavery that we have. And of course, it's creating an economy. Like the way that prison life is embedded in our economy is so gross. I mean, we've talked about how private companies, you know, they were doing, there was the panty company at Lynchfield, that they were paying the women $1 an hour to sew panties. Sweatshop labor. Homegrown sweatshop labor that is legal in the eyes of the law, but definitely inhumane. And then you get, and then, you know, these crazy markups. A lot of, Whole Foods was found out for that their cheese was made at prisons, and that their farmed tilapia was done in prisons. And they recently have decided to go against that, like to stop that practice because there was so much backlash. But a lot of the things that you consume that might say it's made in America, there's a good chance that it's made off of prison labor in America. And then Mother Jones released an article this week where this
senior editor
went and Shane Bauer went undercover for 4 months at the Winfield Correctional Facility in Winfield, Louisiana. To work for the Correction Corporations of America, which is one of the number one private prison companies in the United States. They have over 130 facilities and garner up to $1.6 billion in revenue a year. Now, private prisons only make up 8% of the U.S. prison population, but over time, as our states make more cuts and take the responsibility of prisons away, and they create these more contracts like this, that number is only going to rise. What's so scary about these prisons to me is that the workers are underpaid and understaffed.
And undertrained.
And Jesus Christ. And this episode, and like the season of Orange is the New Black definitely showed that.
Yes.
Oh, they have no money to pay them, so let's build some makeshift homes for them to stay in. And maybe that will offset the costs of actually paying them real money to work.
Or they recruited vets because they couldn't recruit actually trained COs.
And what's interesting, like Winfield, Louisiana, like 35% of the population there are living in poverty. The Correction Corporations of America, or CCA, is one of the number one employers there with Walmart.
And the median income is $25,000. $25,000?
Yes.
Who can live off of that? It's one person, let alone a family.
I mean, this man's first paycheck for 2 weeks of work was like $526, like something dumb. How can you live off of that?
That's pretty much my rent. Mm-hmm. I would not be able to buy groceries.
No.
Or pay my utility bills.
So you have these undertrained COs who are being exploited for the profits of a corporation who have limited resources that are have overpopulated prisons that they are supposed to now watch while they are overworked and freaking tired. They can easily not take a day off. They suggest them to not take days off.
They have no sick days.
They have no sick days. They have no protection.
Oh, this prison that he went undercover in had no pepper spray or nightsticks for the guards. So if prisoners got in a fight, they pretty much said, call for backup, but don't do anything because that would put your life at risk.
Yeah, they're trained specifically not to intervene. So what ends up happening? The prisoners run the prison.
And kill each other.
There's no medical. No one's there providing any type of... This man had There's a man that had gangrene, lost fingers and foots and, like, body parts. Because they didn't have the proper facilities to... The proper training, the proper medical equipment to give this man... They gave him some Nidol. I've been terrible. Gave him some Advil and said, bye, girl. And so he had to lose his body parts. He's now suing CCA. This is the type of stuff that's happening in America. Like, I have read things about Brazilian prisons, and I've seen some videos about them. And they're like, yeah, they're ran by the prisoners because there's no one there to do anything. And, you know, in America, you know, we're the richest country in the land. But we treat these people, I put prisoners in the same, are still the most vulnerable people in the end of the day. They've done terrible things, but now that you've taken away their rights, they're vulnerable like children are vulnerable because they are under the protection of someone else. And if you're not, and if you don't care about who they are or provide any type of true care, It's just inhumane.
I don't. Reading this article didn't surprise me.
No, it's not surprising, but it's also shocking. I don't to see the real numbers.
Oh yeah, like how they never have more than 2 guards on each floor, and there's like 176 per like unit. 176 inmates, 2 people. You can't even have like teach a class with like more than 10 students without having at least 2 adults there. I think it's like, I don't know. I read some number where it's like a very small amount of students per teacher.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, kindergartens or, like, preschools.
Yeah.
So, like you said, vulnerable, like, children.
Mm-hmm. No protection. And then what makes you really sad is, like, the people that are there because there's no mental health facilities. And they end up in prison because they have no place to go. And they're somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Or they have a psychotic break. And instead of going to a mental health facility, they are escorted to jail. And then they're processed and lost.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these COs, the one was making money before he went off to school in the fall. Mm-hmm. Like, you can become a CO in a prison for a summer before you go to college? What?
Remember that bait? I mean, the baby in Orange is the New Black.
That's just insane to me.
You just need to be 18. And you'd be 17.
I'm bored. Or like, I want another job on top of my other job. Let me become a CO for $9 an hour real quick.
And all the money that's just being made on bodies.
Can't even spend that money to train the people that you hire.
No, because the CEO needs that money.
To back political campaigns, yes, that is a direct shot at Hillary Clinton and all of her lovely funding from private prisons, mm-hmm. just like this.
And
yeah. Walmart and private prisons. What a great campaign. Love you, girl. Kisses.
I don't know. This season of Orange is the New Black was really, really hard to watch because it touched upon some of the truths that we don't want to recognize because this population is completely hidden to us.
And besides that, they get lost in the system and they continue to be predominantly people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares then?
What's about Judy King?
That seems... It was like Martha... How I imagine Martha Stewart's experience in prison was. Mm-hmm. But probably even more cushy.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's where we got to see wealth and wealth's relationship to the criminal justice system. Like, she gets to go in here... She has to go in here, but like it's presumably not really there, and gets all of these privileges and can do whatever she wants.
A private room.
And I wonder like how much of that exists. I know that stuff exists.
Absolutely.
Because even with watching The Wire, you saw that with people like really rich drug dealers going in, and they have money behind them that's flowing in because they have people protecting them. And if you have it, and it's just like, if you have anyone in your life that is going through a stint or working with the criminal justice system, write them, talk to them, and see how you can help them. Because it's a very tough system to navigate, and people need to have advocates outside of the system. Because that was the other scary thing, was watching the things that were happening to Sophia and how they were not...
Taking care of her
or letting any information come out about it. Private prisons are secretive. They don't have the same rules as our state facilities that have to let you know where people are.
Nope.
So you can track your loved ones if they're in a state or a county facility. You cannot do the same thing with private prisons.
They don't have to tell you anything.
So it's literally getting lost in the freaking matrix.
But yeah. You should watch Orange is the New Black with a friend or a loved one. It's a lot. And you're going to think it starts slow, but once you realize the stories that they're painting and the reality that they're showing you, and then the end comes, you'd probably be best to not be alone. And that's all I'm going to say, besides the fact that I sobbed 4 hours and went into work with puffy eyes the next day, exhausted.
It's a tough season. And sometimes it makes, like, I'm glad I love the show because I love the show. But it's so hard to watch tough things like this, especially in this climate that we're in right now. All these bad things are happening in the world, and it almost feels exploitative when these narratives are made. And I'm happy that there's so many women and people of color that are a part of it, but that writing staff has no people of color on it. And it really makes me question the choices that are being made. And if the proper care is being made in the telling of the narratives, because it was too hard, those the last couple of episodes. And I feel like it's exploiting the emotions that I've already have because of these real events that have happened. And so, I'm going to look for my think pieces on this, I guess, and see, I don't know. I need to find the people that I trust, people that I care about their opinions, that have thoughtful discourse.
Don't do think pieces.
No, not just like a random think piece, but from critics and journalists that I actually care about. I want to see what their takes are, and I want to have more conversations about this. So I'm really interested, like, what are you guys thinking about this last season? Let's chat it out.
Yeah, I'll chat it out. I don't know if exploiting was a feeling or a thought I had. But then again, I'm like still processing my feelings about it. And I finished it days ago, so.
Yeah.
I think it might be a good time to move on.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like we've kind of rambled. You. All right, that's not the throwback jam of the week, because it's not a throwback, because it's just like last week we learned about that song. So. But what's our throwback jam?
I like the way you look at me. I like the time we spent, baby. I like what we have grown to be. I like it, girl. Don't you know I like it?
So, like, this child had a song?
Sammy!
Yeah, in 1999, back when, like, babies were getting songs, I feel like it was the same time that, like, Little Bow Wow and
Mario.
And Master P's son.
Romeo. Who grew up to be so fine.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is he not little? Did he actually get to grow?
Google.
Okay.
I'll be all Juliet. Right. But Sammy, I Like It is the throwback jam for this week. It literally just popped into my head. I was like, ooh, what would be a good throwback jam? And then Brie asked me, and I started singing it. And then remembered that the song starts as a weird slow jam sang by, like, a 10-year-old. It's very odd. But unfortunately for Sammy, he didn't go much further than that. He has released 3 studio albums.
What? 3?
Yeah, the latest one being called Indigo. But he did write and produce Kiss Me Through the Phone for Soulja Boy. And that's his only other real claim to fame. So, sorry, Sammy, but we still like it. I like it.
Oh, damn, Little Romeo.
Oh, he's just Romeo now. He dropped a little.
I mean, yeah, he's clearly not little.
Yeah, he's fully.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So is Sammy, by the way, if you guys look him up.
Okay.
He's pretty hot now.
That's good. Good for him.
But that's the throwback jam.
All right, and let's just roll right into giggle, cackle, roar.
Wow. Ah! Okay.
So, the giggle is Dim Dim the Penguin.
Listen.
This little penguin lives in South America, and he was chilling in Brazil. And he had all this oil and soot, and he was very sick about 5 years ago. And this man saw him and was like, oh, penguin, I'll make you better the way that anyone would. You know, I've seen the dish soap commercial. I know that I can just put that on the babies and the oil will come right off. And so this person did it and like took care of the penguin. 5 years later, this penguin has been taking a 5,000-mile trip to visit his homeboy in Brazil once a year. He takes a trip. He takes a vacation. And then parties with his friends. And they literally lounge together. They go swimming together. They eat snacks. They probably dance. They probably get crunk together. They just have a great ass time. And who knew? Who knew penguins could be that loyal?
And so smart.
Yeah. To like know and be able to make that trip.
Like, now's the time of year to go visit my buds so we can have spring break.
Yeah. I can go check out some girls with some thongs and hang out with my homie who saved my life. I know, it's just like, it just shows like how magical animals are and how we forget that animals, like, they're not human, but they have a soul. They have something about them that is deeper than just being our playthings, and that they can love and connect even, you know, beyond just your cat and your dog and your pet snake. Like, these people can, these animals can really get down with you. It's like, it reminded me of that lion. That was another meme that like went out, that went viral, of this lion. This woman found this lion that was very ill, and she like nursed him to health, put him in a sanctuary, came back years later to visit him, and this lion flipped out, was like, "Oh, it's Judy!" And like came and like hugged and kissed her and was like, "Homegirl, thank you. I'm doing good. How you doing?" Like, animals have souls, and let's love them for them.
I just want a penguin friend.
Right? Happy feet, getting down.
I want a penguin to fly, to swim from South America, and we can have spring break.
So there's something just to make you happy and smile.
Yes. The cackle? Do we have a roar? Do we have a cackle?
I think it's like a combo cackle, roar, like roar of support and cackle at their dumbasses all in one.
I'm drawing a blank.
So last week we talked about, and we've all been going through mourning for those that were lost in Orlando.
Oh my God, yes.
And the funerals for the victims are underway.
Yes.
And of course,
the lovely hate group. It's not a church. It's a hate group.
The Westboro Baptist Church
hate group.
you might be very familiar with them. They love to picket at military veteran funerals and at abortion clinics and everywhere that you just really don't need someone shouting hate speech at you. They're there in full force. And so they were trying to go and be a nuisance at the funerals of these victims. And
angels appeared.
They appeared. Hundreds of angels from the local theater community in Orlando showed up with these huge wings.
They were awesome.
That guarded them. Guarded the funeral processioners from having to see and be a part and see the hate that the Westboro Baptist Church was spewing at them.
I am very thankful. First of all, as theater kids, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I just don't understand how they still aren't registered as a hate group in the United States. And how, I just don't.
Does the Southern Poverty Law call them a hate group, though? I know that that's, like, sort of different from, like, being, like, a federal, like, or is that the same thing? I don't know.
I think they should be a hate group.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
They are, and they're disgusting, and I mean, the photos were amazing of just seeing these they were gigantic,
mm-hmm.
like bigger, taller than people wings. And they just created a line, a barrier.
A wall.
And
the good type of wall.
See. Yeah. They created a wall around these funerals. and let people mourn despite the hatred that was literally surrounding them.
But I'm happy that they were, that Westboro Baptist was outnumbered. That love is beating hate in at these times. That more people are coming out in support and showing and paying their respect and in solidarity with the victims, with the LGBTQ community. They are coming out in droves, and it's amazing. And it's letting us know, like what we were talking about last time, taking moments to just love each other is the best way that we can combat all of this hate and terrible that is ruling right now in our world.
You know, everyone goes ham over Hamilton and the Tonys, and I didn't really watch them, but I do love that love is love is love is love is love.
Mm-hmm.
And that was reading those articles and like seeing those photos, I was like, hell yeah. Like that's love in action. Like showing love to your fellow human in mm-hmm. action. That was great. I'm getting weirdly teary-eyed, maybe because I'm tired, but or maybe because I actually really haven't thought about the shootings or let myself process that happened. I just kind of read it and got really exhausted and couldn't read about it anymore. And now that I'm actually talking about it, I'm actually crying now. So
it's so exhausting.
It is. The world is really trying to take us all out
mm-hmm.
by just sheer exhaustion of just, why is hatred happening?
And why are we not thinking of the solution, like, sensible solutions? Why can't we get them? Like, why are they so impossible?
Why aren't we just taking time to find paper and cut out paper wings and shedding love on each other? That's literally all they did, was create giant wings.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds of your time to just say, I'm here, I support you. But it's a happy thing because they were awesome and they did an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
So no more tears.
Yeah. No, there's beautiful things that are happening and result to tragedy, and we must honor the beauty and honor and keep on honoring the victims and who they are and their memory. Keep loving.
Yep. All right. All right. That's the episode for this week.
Woo! We did it again!
We did it again. As always, you can find us on the internet at Black Girls Laughing, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook/Black Girls Laughing.
Of course, our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. And you can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com.
And shout out to people tagging us in their amazing photos on Instagram. We want more.
Please. We will share you. We want everyone to see how awesome you are.
Yes. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.